No financial relationships to disclose. And on we go. So why state-level biomonitoring? So this slide kind of starts big and kind of narrows down. It's a sort of upside-down triangle. But in thinking about this session, because it's all local, right, and how we support local health departments, well, you'll see some examples in here of how these state-level biomonitoring programs have supporting local health departments as part of their mission, although this is what I'm reporting on, is state-level programs. And so why are we even talking about this? Well, one of the reasons is because, we have a great national health interview survey that is doing a lot of environmental chemical biomonitoring. But that is designed to be a nationally representative sample. Many of you who have probably worked with the data know that it's very difficult to get to the data on regions to sort of break some of that stuff down. You have to go to the special sort of research access point to get to that. And so that is it's a national resource. It's a resource for research, but it's not well connected to kind of public health on the ground, what we've been talking about, state and local health activities. So as part of the way to sort of move us toward capacity to be able to do some very nice, very informative work at the state and local level, the Association for Public Health Laboratories developed a national biomonitoring plan, which is really, it's a vision to create a state and local level network of biomonitoring labs, basically. And CDC has provided funding for three of these programs so far. And I noticed in Carrie's presentation that, she went through the slide and so I missed it, but so I think about close to 30% do some kind of biomonitoring. So we're talking about a small subset here, but another interesting statistic is that when the request for proposals for this CDC program went out, over 29 states, so more than 50% of the country, expressed interest and wanted to go in for this funding. So there's a lot going on, so that's one bit of good news. But there's a lot that we can still build here. So, and that gets us kind of down to why I'm here today to talk to you, is that Megan and I and the CDC counterparts were interested to talk to these state officials and get an early report on how things were going on their program developments and how we might use some of that information to help move toward the national biomonitoring plan. And so our approach here, so this was an interview questionnaire that we developed in collaboration with Dr. Latshaw and with our CDC collaborators. We hit these five major categories. This recurring theme that you're going to hear about: budgets and funding, projects and impacts, accomplishments, improving effectiveness, and lessons learned. And another important sort of timing issue to discuss is that, so these were awarded in 2009, I believe. And so I was speaking with these officials early in the second year of the program and getting their feedback on the first year of the program, so very early on in this program development. Just a little bit about kind of the response and the data handling. So fortunately, we got all of the programs to participate, and I spoke with all three of the PIs, but only two of the lab directors. And the programs we're talking about, the states we're talking about here, California, New York State, and Washington State. And the qualitative responses were summarized for each program, and we'll see some of those results as we go. And there are a couple of slides with rankings of priorities, and those rankings were averaged across respondents for each program. And just a little bit about these programs in brief. This is another example of a program that is either building on collaborations or is in fact driving additional collaboration. So all of these programs are collaborations within and across agencies. So the lab is working with sort of the epidemiology division, the tox division, the community health division, the environmental agencies. All three of these programs are working with their environmental public health tracking program, and all of them have external university connections as well. And one in particular to call out, Biomonitoring California, told me that really they have a specific partnership strategy that includes health plans. So they've gone sort of beyond sort of the first level of the network to talk to health plans, because Biomonitoring California, along with Washington, sort of has a vision of a state sort of representative sampling plan for their biomonitoring. And California is kind of taking steps along that way with this partnership strategy. And just to give you a big, kind of a brief picture of the works in progress, and you'll see as you look through that, you know, there's a whole, you know, whole spectrum of projects going on addressing sensitive populations, community-based projects, population-based projects, as well as state representative samples, particularly the Washington Environmental Biomonitoring Survey, or WEBS, that is a state representative sample. And also to hit, again, and highlight some of their year one accomplishments. So all of the programs reported their major effort in getting the laboratories up and running, acquiring new equipment, training for the equipment. In Washington, again, because their plan is for a state-level representative sample, they had a major effort in establishing their field operations and logistics. So, you know, and they ended up contracting this particular activity out, so for sample collection, storage, and transport. And all of the programs have completed some analyses, and one program had completed a project, but most of them are ongoing. And the analytes they're covering are, you know, some of the things that we all recognize as the major contaminant concerns: pesticides, heavy metals, and selected organic chemicals. And let me also say, I skipped on the last slide, that another sensitive population that New York and California are working on is actually occupational population. They both have firefighter studies, which I thought was interesting. And I just was so impressed with sort of the scope of the activities that are going on. It was really fantastic. This slide is program goals, because, as I mentioned, these projects are pretty early on, and so we don't have the sort of final products to talk about. But at this point, the goals of the projects that are underway are some of these. So, and particularly the point about sort of it's all local, our session today: assisting local health departments to address exposure situations. And this is a particular theme in talking to the PI from Washington State. Another major theme is using these biomonitoring data to shape and evaluate policies, either on chemical use or worker protection. Intervening on adverse exposure conditions when they are found. And finally, bringing attention to special populations, like maternal and child health, for example. So these are the things we can kind of look forward to as these programs continue to develop and sort of bring results to bear on their public health questions. Now, some of the challenges here: building and maintaining capacity was one of the major challenges reported. Instrument purchase, method development, logistics of the fieldwork and sample collection. So Washington had, you know, made a specific effort to create capacity to do this. California was sort of doing it on the fly. They were figuring out, so okay, who can we ask to collect samples, you know, for this particular project? And as well as a set of very sort of specific scientific and technical challenges. And one to note here that the labs rely on they need basically proficiency testing programs and established samples to sort of test their methodologies. And for things like some of the metabolites that we're interested in biomonitoring, though, that kind of basic infrastructure doesn't exist. And so they're really building methodologies from the ground up here. Here are the couple of slides on ranking of program priorities, and I'll sort of hitting hard here again on the funding issue. So funding was a priority both in the short term and long term. One thing to note about the program priorities is there was a very similar response across all the programs, kind of in order from funding, personnel, partnerships, infrastructure, and then sort of lastly, because they're still building, is this support for policy change and kind of moving moving the data into the policy field. And of course, the budget cuts are going to be a big deal for these programs. Technical priorities, a little bit more of a mixed bag here. Quality assurance and quality control, sort of at the top across the board, but then a little bit more mixed. And I think this has to do with the fact that they have a different portfolio of projects going on. And so the different programs would have sort of different priorities on some of these specific technical issues just related to the programs they're doing. And so in terms of improving effectiveness, program management issues were important. Coordination with CDC was also voiced by all of the three programs. And sort of improving effectiveness and getting to, again, taking the next steps to designing interventions, taking policy action, is linking the biomonitoring to environmental monitoring and getting information on sources and how do we go about making the change once we find our exposure issues. In terms of advancing the National Biomonitoring Plan, again, this is a more thinking about the broader networks and the interconnectedness, so establishing a communication links among the biomonitoring programs. Also, preparing for more advanced designs. I mean, part of the sort of one of the threads I kind of picked up is that, getting off and running, the programs that were funded had, some basic things kind of lined up that they were ready to do. But they see now that there will be more complex issues coming up. And so they're looking for more support to support the more advanced studies that they anticipate. And developing the proficiency testing. So being able to compare data across labs. So I'm really reporting on a qualitative survey here. And we aren't at this point able to compare the arsenic data from California to the arsenic data from New York. So there has to be a little bit more infrastructure to be able to, to build up to a national biomonitoring plan where we can, act locally, but also compare nationally. And I think it would be an interesting, very interesting resource in addition to NHANES. And I know that you probably noticed that I really like clip art, but I wanted to show you a real picture on this last slide because the value of biomonitoring is very real. And so these are sort of little selections from my interviews that talk about the value of biomonitoring. So the first one speaks to me as a risk assessor that this is quantitative exposure assessment, and we don't have to make assumptions here when we find it, exposure. we know about exposure. In terms of risk assessment, we haven't always connected the dots to risk yet, but we know about the exposure part. It will be an essential tool for shaping policy. And it complements existing capabilities, for example, community health investigations, epidemiological investigations, emergency response. Those are the three main areas that the states were saying, we are building in some of these biomonitoring tools to enhance capacity. And the future of biomonitoring, as routine as environmental monitoring. So, I don't think we can imagine environmental policy these days without data, right? And so this is a whole new source of environmental data that's going to help us, really revolutionize the way that we're doing environmental health policy. And just to sort of bring it back specifically to my own work, my primary interest area is cumulative risk assessments and exposure to chemical mixtures. And it's really through biomonitoring that we have begun to open the doors to really see exactly what exposures to mixtures are all about. Again, we haven't connected all the dots yet, but these kinds of data are driving innovation, not just in policy, but also in research. Thank you.